Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Wall Street. What's Wall Street doing lately? Have you been paying attention to Wall Street? Do you worry about what Wall Street does? Do you care about what Wall Street does? Are you invested into assets that are controlled by people on Wall Street? I don't know. I know I'm not. You might be. To be honest with you, when it comes to me, I don't really care what Wall Street does. I don't care if the stock market is going up, and I don't care if the stock market is going down. Now, at one point in my life, I actually cared a lot about that. I did. Back in my 30s, I was advised by a financial planner that I needed to be diversified. Yeah, this financial planner said, look, you're in the Army, buddy. And I think about this time I was about maybe, I don't know, around 8 years in. 8 years in. So why does that matter? Okay. So in the military, at least back when I was in the military, it's all different today. But when I was in the military, there was a retirement pension available to you if you completed 20 years of active service. Now, that pension's available to you if you're on full-blown active duty or if you're a member of the National Guard or the Reserves. The guys on the National Guard and the Reserve side, because they don't work full-time for the military, they were able to earn a retirement pension based on the amount of time they actually serve. So just to give you an idea, if you're on active duty for 20 years, you're going to get a pension. If you're in reserve duty for 20 years, because you're primarily a part-time soldier, and maybe you had some active service involved in there, you will earn a pension, but you will earn that pension at a reduced rate, commensurate with, you know, proportional to the amount of time you physically served in the military. That's the way it all worked out. So for me, I did the full 20 years. But at the 8-year mark, when Tina and I sat down with our financial planner, because a friend of mine who was also in the military said, you know, have you really looked at how much you're going to get on this pension? And I was kind of like, la, 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 you know, I'll worry about that when I get there, right? Because that was my mindset. And he said, yeah, well, chances are you're probably not going to be able to do the things that you want to do in retirement. So I'm going to hook you up with my financial planner because he's working things out for me. I said, oh, okay. So Tina and I, we talked to this financial planner. And what's interesting about this particular financial planner was that he had recently retired from the military. Yeah, he had retired as a lieutenant colonel, had done his 20 plus years, and he was getting a pension. When we sat down and talked with this gentleman, one of the things that he wanted to make abundantly clear to Tina and I was the fact that he was a financial planner in retirement because the money that came in off of his pension was not enough money for he and his bride and his family to live off of. And what he had done about the 8-year mark of his career was he had met with a financial planner, and that financial planner got them invested in various things. So now it was my turn. It was my turn to listen to this gentleman tell me about how my future was going to be much, much, much better if I did something a little bit different than just relying on the pension. And here's the other thing he told me. He said, I know you got your sights on that 20-year mark. But having said that, not everybody can get there. See, there are things that happen in your career where the military makes decisions on your upward mobility, your potential for advancement and promotion. And it all has to do with the needs of the service. It has nothing to do with your individual needs. So he cautioned me and he said, even though that's what you're intending to do, the military may have a different mindset on that. And they may release you before you get to that 20-year mark. He said, but you can always go into the reserve component, the National Guard or the reserves, and you can at least make up that time. So you'll still get a pension, but here's the difference. If you get that reserve pension, you don't draw it once you retire from the military. You have to wait until the age of 60. So now I'm sitting here thinking, oh, this ain't good. I mean, nobody ever told me that I wasn't going to make 20 years before. And now this guy's telling me not only is it not possible for everybody, there is a percentage of people that never see it. And I started thinking to myself, man, maybe I'm going to be one of those guys. I don't know. This isn't good. But then the financial planner, he laid out his version of what the future should look like. He said, I can help you have a successful retirement. All you're going to need to do is start putting money away now. Put money away into things like a savings account, things like insurance products, things like mutual funds. And I thought, okay, well, I really don't have anything in savings, so maybe that's a start for me. I've never really owned any insurance products other than the Servicemen's Group life insurance that I was told I needed to take out. So I've got that. And as far as mutual funds, yeah, I don't know much about mutual funds either. He said, not to worry. What we're going to do is we're going to lay out a diversified plan for you. And I thought, a diversified plan? I've heard that term before. And I was hooked. And when we come back from the break, I'm going to tell you the rest of the story.
You can't be financially free if you're psychologically imprisoned by disabling belief systems.
Are you ready to break free from your disabling belief systems about money, real estate, retirement, and financial freedom? Then join us for Lifestyles Unlimited's live online free workshop. Learn the belief system that thousands of people like you have used to break free from corporate America and create the lives they have always wanted. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedFreeWorkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the show. So my financial planner laid out this plan. He said, Al, you and Tina, you need to be diversified. And I was like, okay, well, I've heard that term before. What does that really mean? And he said, well, what we're going to do is we're going to lay out a plan for you. It's a three-legged plan, basically. Kind of like a three-legged stool. You got to have all three in order for the stool to stand up and not fall over. And I thought, okay, well, that kind of makes sense. So he said, you need to have 6 months' worth of savings. You need to have that 6 months' worth of savings set aside. So that just in case something happens to you financially. Let's say the military decides out of the blue, they're going to board you out for whatever reason. You have to separate from the military. That would give you a cushion to live off of while you're still trying to figure out what you're going to do for a career next. And I thought, okay, well, that's going to be hard to do because we pretty much spend just about everything that we make. And he said, well, that's not a problem. Just start putting some money aside. Get in the habit of doing it. Even if it's only $100 a month, start putting that $100 aside so that in the unforeseen circumstance that maybe you need to tap into that, you'll at least have some money there. So Tina and I looked at each other and we went, oh, I guess we can carve $100 out a month. I guess we could do that. And then he said, okay, let's talk about insurance. And I said, why do I need insurance? He said, insurance is there to protect you from any future perils. And I went, well, what kind of perils am I worried about? I mean, I'm in the military. I get that. What I do is hazardous, but I got this SGLI stuff, right? And he said, yeah, the SGLI stuff, it's actually pretty cheap insurance. It's very, very cheap insurance. But he said, that kind of insurance, it's called term insurance. And I was like, term insurance? What do you mean term insurance? And he says, well, it's only good for as long as you serve in the military. You can only buy it while you're in the military. And you keep paying for it. So if you miss a payment or something, they'll cancel your insurance. But as long as that insurance is in place, it's going to cover you. And in my case, it was up to $400,000. I took the maximum amount of insurance out. So I was covered for up to $400,000. Then he said, you need something called whole life insurance. And I went, whole life insurance? What's the difference? And he said, well, whole life insurance is designed for your entire life. As a matter of fact, we've got an insurance product here with a little thing called OPIs on it. I won't get into the, you may have heard the term. Basically, what it allowed me to do was I could buy a whole life policy on myself, and I could buy a whole life policy on Tina's life. And these whole life policies, as long as we continue to pay every month like we're supposed to, they actually had a cash component to them. Meaning, let's say I got to the age of, I don't know, 65, and I hadn't passed away yet, but the insurance is still in place for the face value of the insurance product. Meaning that if I decided, say, at the age of 65, that I didn't want the product anymore, I could actually cash that product in. I could cancel the insurance, and I could take whatever cash equivalent had built up in that whole life insurance policy. So, I mean, Tina and I looked at each other and we kind of went, but we got the $400,000. And he said, but the problem is, when you separate from the service, you can't take that $400,000 policy with you. You're going to need something to replace it. So what he was gearing us up for was to build us up over time to where we bought additional policies on each other to where we got to at least $400,000 on me, because that's what the term life insurance was for me. And for Tina, I think it was $150,000 or $200,000, because I was actually able to take out some kind of spousal insurance. I don't know what was out there. So that was the concept. We were able to buy these chunks of insurance in $50,000 face value blocks. Now, here's what I didn't really fully understand about all this whole life insurance. It's actually very expensive. It's actually very expensive. And even though it has a cash equivalent to it, it's not going to make you crazy, crazy money. But Tina and I said, okay, I mean, this kind of makes sense to us right now. This is what we're going to do. So we started buying whole life insurance. Now, here's the other thing he told us to do. He said that third leg of the stool there, that's the actual investing arm. And I said, okay, so what are we going to do? We're going to go out and buy individual stocks. We're going to buy and hold. What are we going to do here? And he said, well, what we're going to do is we're going to put you into a mutual fund. And I said, a mutual fund? Okay, how do those work? And he said, well, basically what the mutual fund does, you buy shares of the mutual fund. And then the mutual fund takes all the money that gets put into it, and then it buys and sells stocks. It gets rid of the underperforming ones, and it buys ones that have greater potential to do better. And what they're looking to do is build up the value of that mutual fund over time. And I thought, oh, okay. Well, I guess that kind of makes sense. And he said, you know, and you actually have your choice of which kind of mutual fund you want to be in, whether you want to be like really aggressive or you want to be very safe. And I said, okay, what do you mean aggressive and safe? And he said, well, depending how much risk tolerance you have. And I said, well, I'm like 30 years old and I'm in the Army. How much risk tolerance do you think I have? And he kind of chuckled at me and he went, oh, so you want to be in the aggressive growth stocks. And I said, yeah, that's because, you know, I want to get to that big bag of money when it's time for me to retire. So we went ahead and we started buying those mutual funds. So here's how it all kind of broke out. Over time, we continued to spend money on mutual funds. And we spent money on whole life insurance. And when we remembered, we put like an extra $100 into our savings account. This is all designed to get us to a place in the future where we would have the lifestyle that we wanted. Because I'll be honest with you, the first thing we did with the financial planners, we talked about what's it going to be like when we're like 65 years old. And of course, what comes out of a 30-year-old's brain? The big house, the big boat, the nice cars, the vacations. I mean, all that stuff I didn't have when I was 30 years of age. That's what I wanted to get to. So Tina and I started that process with a financial planner. Now, I will tell you this. We were getting like 8% return year over year, not just on the mutual funds, but also on the whole life. So what could go wrong? Well, I'll tell you when we come back. Stick around.
When you look at the effects of what happened in 2008 and you compare it to what we are hopefully coming out of right now, real estate has definitely shown its resiliency. It has provided for people not only a place to live, but a place to work, a place to raise their children, a place to teach their children, a place to prepare all of their meals.
And that's really where the rubber meets the road, is that there are two things that people have to have, and they strive very hard to have them, and that's a roof over their head and food on the table. And if you are investing in something related to either of those two things, you are going to have a winning strategy. And in addition to that, you're providing something of value to the people around you. And creating a win-win situation while creating wealth and passive income for yourself is the best life you can get.
Real estate is resilient. You should have real estate in your portfolio. Join us for the next live online free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Warning, listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Welcome back to the show. So, actually a lot can go wrong. A lot can go wrong with that kind of investing mentality. And let me just break it down for you. So we're cruising along, you know, I think we were getting 8% year over year on our mutual fund picks. Yeah. And I think we were earning about the equivalent of about 8% per year on our money in the whole life. So, I mean, you know, everything's going good, right? Now, I've got access to some kind of, I don't know, dashboard that, you know, was made available to me so that I could look this information up periodically. And what I found was that it appeared the mutual funds were doing really well. I mean, every time I looked, there was more and more money going in there. I mean, it was bigger and bigger and bigger. And I just said the key thing. There was more and more money going in there. Yeah. So this mutual fund, the reason why the account balance was going up is because we were injecting, I think we were injecting about $750 is what we budgeted per month to go into that fund. But that $750 a month was only returning about an 8% return. So what does that mean? Okay, so when you annualize $750, that you come up with $9,000. And when you get an 8% return on that $9,000 injection, you're getting about $720. So when you take that $720, you divide it by 12, I was making about $60 a month, $60 in growth. I didn't know any better back in the day, but that's kind of mediocre. That's kind of mediocre. And to be honest with you, the mutual fund that I was in, apparently, which was more aggressive, was doing something like 8.5%. And we were cruising along thinking we're making all kinds of money in the stock market. Stock market's going up. I mean, you know, let's break it all down. So stuff that I bought, say, in 2000 may have been worth more in, say, 2008. Yeah, it's just the way it is. But that's not how mutual funds work because they're always cycling through the stocks. So the managers in the mutual funds, well, they make money every time they execute a transaction. Now, they have to have a legitimate purpose for doing it, but you gave them authority to do that when you signed all the paperwork. So they're allowed to execute all those trades. And those trades create fee income. Yeah. Which is an expense to the mutual fund, which helps to keep your returns right around that 8% mark. Now, here's another thing that kind of came out of the blue that we never knew about. I believe that it was around the year 2000 we started this process with the financial planner. Might have been prior to then. Actually, now that I think about it, it was, wow, I got to go back. I want to say it was like 1996 or 97. So that's how long ago that I actually stepped through the doorway of a financial planner's office. And over time, I mean, we just kept putting money in, you know, and it all came out in allotment. So I never saw the money come out of my paycheck. I never saw it come out because it was automatically diverted before it even made it to my bank account. You know, out of sight, out of mind. That's what they want you to do. They want you to have that mindset. And then somewhere around, I don't know, it was maybe 2005 or 2006, a little scandal broke out. Yeah, just a little scandal. See, it turns out that the people that were the financial planners, basically the company that was providing these services for me, well, apparently they ran afoul of the SEC. Yeah, the Securities and Exchange Commission. See, what they had done, and I didn't know any different. It sounded like it made a lot of sense. But the first year I was in that mutual fund, they disclosed to me that it was something called a loaded fund, meaning you're going to pay for fees and services up front. And once you pay for a lot of those fees and services up front, on the back end, more and more of your money is actually going to go to buying those fractional shares in the mutual fund. And apparently what they did was kind of illegal. This thing was set up to be, if I paid $750 a month, that's how much money was going to the mutual fund. 50% of that, every month for the first year, was the load fee. So in other words, I didn't have $750 going into the mutual fund for the first year. I only had $375. And then the rest of it was stripped out for prepaid fees. Yeah, that's really what it boiled down to. Well, these guys got in a lot of trouble for it. And I'm not going to tell you who they are. Some of you might know. It really doesn't matter. What that did for me was that put a very, very bad taste in my mouth. Because I'm a guy in the military choosing to be a military person for my career, trying to get to a point 20 or more years down the road where I can at least earn a retirement so that maybe I can transition out of the military and actually retire, or I could get into my secondary job. And the whole thing with this financial planner thing, this this stuff was supposed to be there specifically to help me when I got to that 20-year or beyond mark, because maybe at that point there would be enough money in there to where I could actually retire. I might actually be in a position to retire. Maybe so, maybe not, but I'd be closer to the so than I would be to the not. And when this information came out, it became very clear to me whose best interest the financial planner had in mind. And it wasn't mine. Yeah, a little thing called fiduciary obligation. Yeah, I believe that was mentioned several times in the documentation that I received from the U.S. Attorney's Office regarding these guys. So at that point, I was like, you know what? I don't know about this anymore. I was disillusioned. There's no other way for me to describe it. I was disillusioned. The people that I put my trust, my faith, my confidence in had basically spit in my face and just, you know, their attitude was, well, you know, suck it up, buttercup. All right. Yeah, I'm in the military. I know how to do that, but I'll have to do it with you, financial planner. So Tina and I stopped increasing our insurance. We stopped increasing the amount of money that we were putting into this mutual fund because we really felt like we were being taken advantage of. And then we got to the year 2007. Now, I will tell you this. In 2005, I entered into a business agreement with a couple of guys. We did a land development that turned out very well for us. I made a lot of money on that. And as a result, we started to buy some other real estate. Then 2008 happened. And I was smart enough to recognize the handwriting on the wall about January of 2008. Another business endeavor to develop property that I was in, I stepped away from. But I still had these mutual funds and this insurance and wasn't quite sure what to do with these things. All right, we come back from the break. I'll tell you how it all shook out. Stick around.
Wamsley on the economy and politics.
What happens if the economy turns around and goes back down now the Democrats are in power, or inflation becomes rampant and all of a sudden it becomes very difficult to do business? I was listening to an economist the other day and he pulled out this chart of GDP. He said, look, here's what I want you to do. He said, tell me anywhere from 1950 to 2021 where the Democrats took power and where the Republicans took power. He said, point it out for me. And the truth of the matter is you can't tell.
If you're sitting on the sidelines waiting to see what the politicians are going to do, or waiting to see what the economy is going to do, if you're trying to predict the future, stop. Politicians and the economy have no bearing on your success or failure. Only you do. Register for the next live online free workshop. We'll unfold the map to retirement in 5 years or less, regardless of what's going on in the world. It's the same proven strategies we've been using for 30 years through every political party and economic cycle you can think of. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Welcome back to the show. So it's 2008, and we all know what happened in 2008. It was a perfect storm of the real estate markets, as well as the stock markets, having a lot of difficulty. And a lot of it had to do with the fact that government had been doing stuff in the background for years that caused the whole meltdown to occur. Now, I don't want to get into the historical stuff about what happened in 2008. I can't go back and change any of that. But I will tell you this, 2008, I'm watching my life unravel around me. I'm watching a business endeavor that I got into, I had to step away from. Okay, I was able to step away and not lose a lot of money, but I did lose money in the investment because the investment was not going to be able to perpetuate because of what was going on in the economy. The other thing that was going on was that Tina and I had bought some duplexes out of state, and we were following somebody else's roadmap to success that didn't quite get us to the success we were supposed to be at. As a matter of fact, there was a lot of holes in the whole thing. And the other piece that was missing, there was no support system for me. So I couldn't pick up the phone and call somebody like I can do at Lifestyles Unlimited and say, hey man, walk me through this. I just need a sanity check here. So everything's starting to melt down. We're watching our mutual fund pricing drop, 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 drop. And of course, all the emails coming from the mutual fund company are, hey, you're dollar cost averaging. Remember, you're in this for the long haul. Don't do anything about that right now. And I'll be honest with you, I had no idea if the markets would ever recover. I really had no idea. And because we had bought these duplexes, I really thought that, you know, this was the path to success, the real estate was. But because we were operating these properties ineffectively, because we were not Lifestyles Unlimited members at the time, I'd never even heard of Lifestyles Unlimited, we were doing things incorrectly. And as a result of that, we actually had residents that like skipped on us and did all these things. So now all of a sudden, I got vacancies and I'm trying to rent these units out. My property manager's not getting anybody to bite. And, you know, I'm like, okay, what do I do now? I don't have income coming in on these properties, but I've got mortgages I got to pay. Meanwhile, I'm looking over my mutual fund account. I'm just watching it freaking implode every day. So Tina and I made a decision. We started selling off those mutual funds. We just figured, you know what? We got to get out of all this stuff. We just got to get out of all this stuff. So we sold off all the mutual funds. We took the money and we used the money to get the real estate right. We used it for some of the carrying costs. We used it to go in and do some improvements on the property. And we used it to bide our time through 2008 till we could find decent renters to put into the property. So 2008 was a huge meltdown for me. And I'm not even talking about the $250,000 that I lost in my principal residence during that time. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was a very, very bad year. And by the time I got through 2008, I was so sour on investing of any kind. I was sour on the stock market. I was sour on real estate development. I was sour on my rental properties because they weren't doing that good. But of all the things that I had going, at least they were kind of surviving. And Tina and I made the informed decision to at least keep those alive. So we held those properties and we held them for a long time, longer than we probably should have because we really didn't understand what our exit strategy should be. So as time goes along, I get to a point where I'm retired from the military. I earned the pension. But when I stepped away from the military, there's no mutual funds there to fill in the gap. There was whole life insurance, we kept that going because we knew that the SGLI would be gone, and it effectively was gone 30 days after I separated. And as far as the savings piece, yeah, we had a little bit of money in there, but we definitely didn't have 6 months worth. And at the age of 50, I found myself in Fort Living Room with a huge financial problem, having to combat ageism, trying to get back into the workforce, trying to get a job that at least paid me commensurate to what I've been making in the military, only to find door after door after door closing in my face, realizing that I was going to have to take my pride and put it in my back pocket and maybe take a job that I was overqualified for, at least just fake it till I make it, because I needed the income. And that's really what happened. That's exactly what happened. 10 months after I retired, I finally found a job, but the damage was done. Financially, we got hammered. Vehicles that I had paid off and owed and free and clear, I now had loans on because I was using that money to keep my household afloat. Because that pension, well, it didn't do what I kind of hoped it would do. It doesn't provide enough money for my family to live off of unless I really want to reduce our standard of living. And I wasn't interested in doing that. So I went back into the workforce and I slaved away with my pride in my back pocket, working for people that, in my opinion, were mental midgets to me. Now, that's not me being arrogant. That's just me being observant. 2017, I have found out about Lifestyles Unlimited. I did. And I checked out a free workshop. And I'll be honest with you, it was different than anything else I'd attended. I actually had checked out a couple of other organizations because in the back of my mind, I knew real estate was the way to go. I just knew that I wasn't doing it right. And I was just struggling with what does right look like? And I really wasn't interested in reading 20 different books and trying to figure out which ones were effective and which ones were not. So when I heard the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show in my local market, I went and checked out that free workshop. And I'll be honest with you, I was skeptical. I went in there with a lot of skepticism. But I left that workshop with a new understanding. You see, the person presenting the information, they weren't interested in trying to sell me on something. They were more interested in trying to share with me information that had never been shared with me before. And that's exactly what they did. For an hour and a half, I mean, they went over all kinds of things that I needed to hear. Stuff about how I had to get my head straight because, to be honest with you, I was not thinking like somebody who's an effective owner of real estate. I was thinking like somebody else. I had to change that mindset. And then they got into the nuts and bolts on how they buy property, single-family property, multifamily property. They showed me everything. They just laid it all out. This is how we do it. And I was like, I haven't even given you a dime and you're showing me how you do this. And they said, well, we have to tell you this because what we're giving you is the basis for the map. If you want the other 16 hours, not a problem. Just become a member. We'll give it to you. It's the rest of the story. And I'll tell you what, I signed up right there on the spot in July of 2017. I became a member of Lifestyles Unlimited. And then in August, the next month, I think it was like 10 days later, I sat through the Financial Freedom Seminar. We call it the 2-day. It's a 16-hour training course. It gives you all the rest of the information. And it tells you everything you need to know to be effective as a real estate investor. And it's not just the education. There are people on the Lifestyles Unlimited team that are available to you, technically Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. But once you also meet your fellow members, those guys are available to you, you know, whenever it's reasonable to call. I'll tell you what, it changed my life. It put me on a glide path to where I laid out a 5-year plan. I had figured out what it was going to take for me to get to a point of retirement in 5 years. I mapped it all out and I went to work getting it done. 2 years into the process, my wife and I are kind of going over. We do a yearly review. Where are we at? How are we doing? At the 2-year mark, because we had done all the things that Lifestyles Unlimited taught us to do, we realized that we had achieved our goal 3 years ahead, that I was actually at a place of retirement, that I had regained control of my life again, and that if I didn't want to go back to that job that I was really starting to hate a lot, I didn't have to. And you know what we did? I gave my 2 weeks notice. I said, that's it. I'm done. I'm out. It came out of the blue to all the people I worked for. They're like, what? What? You're like you're our star performer. And I go, yeah, but you don't treat me like that. And here's the other thing. I don't really need you anymore. So thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for the experience. Good luck. But I'm bouncing. And I left. And I've been retired ever since. Now, I do this radio show, but I will tell you this. I do this radio show because I love doing this radio show, because I love helping people like you understand that there's a better way and that you too can get yourself retired in the next 5 years. All you have to do is do what I did. Go to a free workshop. Go to lifestylesunlimitedworkshops.com. Get signed up and let's get you moving to the future.
For listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.